this whole like concept of like having this open resource and including everyone's voice, you know, it's sort of like the goal is to get rid of systematic bias, but how free of systematic bias do you think that this whole like alternative interactive media of blogging can actually have when it inherently will like appeal to more young, more computer literate, more educated people?
That's a good question.
Because ultimately, people who aren't familiar with that or have access to that are sort of excluded.
That's a very good question. For one thing, I've got to say the idea behind this is not necessarily to get away from bias altogether, to try and be as objective as possible, because there's really fundamentally, although journalism keeps telling us there is no such thing as objectivity in news reporting, anyone reporting the news will bring their own biases, their own personal biases to the process. So what multi-perspectival news does is not so much get rid of biases, but just have a much broader range of biases that interact with one another, so that if you're looking at all of these reports, if you look at these different perspectives together, you can work out where do you stand in relation to this and how do you fit in there. The question then becomes, well, yeah, how widely spread is participation in these environments? And right now, of course, yes, you're very right. I mean, there's still a certain bias towards the younger, the better connected, just the people who are early adopters, basically. But it's slowly changing. I mean, we've seen blogs been taken up by a very broad range of people already. When we're seeing these open news environments, these gatewatching environments also being taken up by a fairly broad range of people. But that's going to be crucial in the future from here on in to really see a broad take-up of these environments by as many people as possible. Not necessarily all operating through the same site. Not all sort of operating, say, through indie media, for example, to report about, you know, to discuss what's going on. But there might be an indie media that's coming from a very alternative left-wing side, but there could also just as easily be, and there probably are sites that are coming from a right-wing conservative side. And the idea is not so much to put them all together into the same melting pot, but to have these sites and have these sites play it out as well, to interface and interact with one another as well.
The commercial boundaries of Sony, and especially in a game like EverQuest, is actually creating a new community, and with that new community, there are new borders.
Yep.
So if you enter into the EverQuest community, you have taxes, you have laws, and so you're no longer living in, say, the United States, because actually you're living in this EverQuest, which actually crosses many countries' boundaries.
Yep.
And I think that with a lot of some of the stuff that you're talking about, we're going to question whether or not we actually even need national boundaries anymore, whether national boundaries only serve the interests of multinational corporations for their maintenance. But the real boundaries are through games like EverQuest.
Absolutely. You know, there was a study just recently which calculated the economy of EverQuest. And EverQuest actually came out as something like the 57th largest economy, according to gross national product, if you calculate it on that basis, in the world.
Yeah.
So it's a much larger economy than, you know, countries like Zambia or something, I think.
They do have greater cash flow.
Cash. And there's actually, you can translate money in EverQuest to dollars.
Right.
There's an exchange rate that you can calculate using very, very standard economic models.
So citizenship is bought.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, yeah.
I just wanted to connect what you're saying about trains with EverQuest. I know that you're saying the 3D package creator, the guys, and they actually sell them.
Yep.
I know with EverQuest, over time, your levels get, I mean, as you play, your levels get greater. But if you don't play, your levels go down.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually people who pay other people just to sit there and walk around on their game, just their levels don't go down.
Yep. There's actually a story that there are some kind of sweatshops, if you like, in Mexico, apparently, where people are paid to play, you know, in order to keep those characters alive or to even build or find tools that they can sell online. So there's a real shadow economy that happens, which mirrors what happens perhaps in the real economy as well. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the economic environment in these games, you know, there's a lot of research still to be done on this. It's fascinating.
Are you suggesting that these legalities actually aren't laid out in stone? So like Sony that owns EverQuest and says that you cannot sell these characters is now accepting responsibility for all material produced in these characters.
Well,
you know what I mean, so like,
yeah,
if they're saying that we own this, then they represent whatever people create. So they represent a vast array of, you know, controversial issues, anything that's published. You know what I mean? So, but my question is, so wait, Wikipedia doesn't accept responsibility for?
Well, look, the easy answer is, or the only answer perhaps, is that right now a lot of this is still very much untested. You know, we've still got to see big cases about this. I'm sure they'll happen sooner or later. But, you know, I mean, that's the question. Sony's point was, as I've described it, and then they've kind of backed away from that a little bit. But it's not really been fully tested. And yes, perhaps they actually, if they look more closely, they might not want to own all of that because, yeah, they may be also then responsible for everything that happens in there.
Yeah, they represent all the content. Yeah,
yeah.
So if someone hacks in there and makes something really, really disgusting,
yeah,
well, they own it.
Yeah. So, but, you know, a lot of this simply hasn't been tested yet. I mean, all of these questions are still very much up in the air until someone actually says, yeah, okay, I've been affected by bad content in the Wikipedia or something's happened to me in EverQuest. I want to sue someone. Who do I sue? You know, and who's responsible? There's no answer yet. Basically, it's legally it's a very gray area at this point.
Sue
someone.